long as China has ascended to that role economically. We look at, around at our problems that would be debated, I think, more vigorously if not for the virus. But campaign season has been attenuated, and what the Democratic Party did by having all the rivals to Biden fold so quickly is far more suspicious to me than anything Vladimir Putin has the power or capability, even with the KGB, to pull off in terms of stirring the pot in the United States and increasing the level of chaos here. And the reason I say that is because issues that have been life and death issues for us before the virus, that were bringing our economy down even though it couldn't get reported on, the homeless crisis for decades now, a homeless crisis, and just today on Common Dreams, the public interest magazine online, there's news that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has repealed the Faircloth Amendment. Now, it's interesting because the people who were the greatest advocates for building more public housing, people like David Dayan, who wrote the book on the foreclosure crisis back in 2008 and 2009, didn't even know that there was this Faircloth Amendment that put a restriction on how much money our legislators could spend on building public housing.
Really?
And we have a president who made his family fortune off of building public housing. And you couldn't get a journalist in the 2016 marathon coverage of the elections. You couldn't even get a Democratic candidate like Bernie Sanders to bring this up in debates.
So tell us more about this amendment, the Faircloth Amendment, is that what it's called?
Faircloth Amendment has apparently prevented the construction of public housing, and even someone as deep in the weeds on policy for public housing as David Dayan didn't know about it. Mm. This is big news, and this is what is being forced out of the vacuum of coverage while we talk about this fantasy Cold War stuff that's 40 years out of date.
Well, it's really amazing. You know, you see these expensive housing keeps to be going up in cities, all over, especially on the West Coast. And at the same time, the tents, little tent villages are springing up everywhere. I mean, I remember back not that many years ago, you know, I read about homeless communities in India where whole families and communities had taken over certain city streets, and I thought, well, gee whiz, that's really strange that that continues, and here it is happening in our own country.
Well, Pear, did you think it was strange in 2016 during that marathon election season with Hillary Clinton in the Democratic primaries and then facing off against Trump, and there were nobody raising the issue of homelessness as what is the Republican national platform, what is the Democratic national platform? No journalist in all those televised debates raised homelessness. What's your policy prescription? Don't you think this is a strange vacuum of coverage?
Well, it's strange. I wasn't really aware that it was totally unmentioned, you know.
Well, I think people who are homeless might, you know, occasionally when they're walking by a TV in a window might notice that this is something that isn't being talked about. And, you know, here's the thing. If we, and this goes back to the lead in the water stuff that was not a national news story either during the Obama years. I mean, you know, Obama's token of visiting Flint, Michigan was ridiculous, and the fact that Portland and other places around the U.S. that had public water being poisoned by lead because of a failure to upgrade infrastructure, you know, if instead of these the poisoning of public water or the housing crisis, the burgeoning Hoovervilles of homeless in all American cities, if this had been caused by an Islamist terror cell, or this had been caused by Vladimir Putin in Russia, I guarantee you the conspiracy theories among the mainstream media would be dominating questioning of candidates. But because it's market values, we have 8 programs on the public's airwaves, from This Week on Wall Street to Marketplace to Planet Money to Business Insider to Freakonomics to Forbes to Bloomberg Billionaire News. And no one talks about what happens when Americans are victimized by business as usual and market forces.
Well,
which is what prevented our poisoned water from being worked on, and what has prevented now how public housing from being built.
Well, they keep saying, okay, this is who will pay for it. Well, there's a lot of money over at the Pentagon. You know, a bipartisan Congress voted, I think, something like $750 billion Pentagon budget. And when you put in all the extras and add-ons, and we spend $1 trillion a year preparing for war. Now, that is money that is really pretty much wasted. That money could be used for all kinds of dire needs here at home, like the homeless problem.
And you've just put your finger on it, because when David Dayan looked at the Cortez bill this morning, the first thing he noticed was what animates the Faircloth Amendment, which incidentally was signed by Bill Clinton going out the door in 1998, like he signed the Republican the 1998 Bank Modernization Act, which deregulated Glass-Steagall and opened the door to the bank bailouts 15 years later. Mm-hmm. But the point is, it was Clinton that signed the Faircloth Amendment because Clinton wanted to be known as a deficit hawk. He went out the door and he closed the door on the building of public housing while homelessness began as a problem under his predecessor, Reagan and Bush. So it's one more thing that when Hillary Clinton was a serious candidate, first for senator from Wall Street, and then as running for president, and then when Obama, as a surprise, put her in his cabinet as Secretary of State, these were questions to be asked of Hillary Clinton about her record in office. Okay, she didn't hold office in her husband's administrations, but she had the portfolio on public health care, and someone could have said, what do you think the negative effects of the Faircloth Amendment were that your husband signed? And nobody even raises this among our accredited journalists.
I think she kind of messed up that portfolio. You know, she gathered a lot of big shots, to put together a health care plan, and she very pointedly excluded single payer people. That was off the table right from the start. And what she put together was a very complicated mess, and I don't think it ever got anywhere. So it makes me question her intentions and her abilities.
Thank you, Mitch. Coming up next, we have Jack. Is Jack still with us?
Still here.
Go ahead, Jack. You're live.
Hey, morning, Jack.
Yeah, thanks for keeping alive this Russiagate fiasco. The current version of it, I don't know, what do we want to call it, Russiagate 3.0 or something, as it keeps rolling, it's bizarre. There was interviewed recently one of the members of the Senate Congressional Intelligence Committee, I believe. He was interviewed on NPR a few days ago, and he said that one of the principal intelligence agencies had deemed the evidence on the assassinations to be questionable and not worthy of how do they put it, low confidence. There was such low confidence in its veracity that they decided not to present it to the president.
This is the bounty story.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And but the New York Times ignored that, He was interviewed, and that's what he had to say at that time. I started looking up about this kind of stuff to some degree. Most recently, I believe, what I was able to find, but this was in the Russian media, so it's probably totally dismissed in the West, that Qatar, in fact, was the bag man for the deal, but they were paying bounties for the killing of Russia media and Russia military in Syria, paying bounties to Syrian rebels.
I'll say that again, that the U.S. is paying Syrian rebels?
Well, no, it was Qatar was actually paying.
Oh, okay.
But Qatar and Saudi Arabia are now the credited with pretty much funding the rebels and the remaining rebels in Syria. And they've been doing it for a long time, actually. But the few that are still there are getting their support from Qatar and Saudi Arabia, and certainly this has to be approved by the CIA, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's been going on recently, and if there is any truth to this assassination story, it could be that it's a response to that. Who knows? But nevertheless, we've still got Russiagate 3.0, and what I keep reminding, I have a lot of I'm pretty liberal guy myself, and I've got a lot of liberal, left liberal, progressive friends, and I think many have been taken over by this anti-Trump hysteria syndrome, as whatever you were calling it. Anything that comes out, anything they can get their hands on that's anti-Trump, they will share it with people, and they will trumpet it. And I have to keep reminding them that you better check your sources, and you better check the authenticity of this stuff. And keep in mind that the enemy of your enemy is still your enemy.
Mm-hmm. John Bolton being a good example.
All right. Thank you, Jack. We're moving on to Linda's up next. One moment. All right. Linda, you're live. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. What I want to say is I'm hearing Joe Biden, maybe he didn't get the nomination in the correct way. I'm hearing a lot of criticism of Democrats. We have the most dangerous man in history in the White House right now. He is a moron. I think we need not to confuse the issue. We need to get a Democrat elected into the White House and then discuss all these other things. A lot of young people are saying, I can't see any good candidate to vote, so I'm going to stay home. I can tell you the white evangelicals are not staying home. They have polling places ready for them. And I think we need to just get a Democrat elected and get the madman out of the White House.
Well, that's a strategy, you know. I mean, it's...
We need not to confuse the issue if we want to get the madman out of the White House.
No, that is a strategy. I think what goes along with that is that, if for one thing, Oregon is not a swing state. Oregon is pretty safe for the Democrats. So if you don't like Biden, you could vote Green Party or whatever and not have to worry about giving your vote to Trump. But there are states back in the Midwest that are a lot closer. And so I can see the strategy there of...
Well, it's not a strategy. It's a must. We must get the madman out of the White House. It's not some kind of mamsy-pamsy strategy. It's we must get that madman idiot out of the White House before he kills us all.
Well, I would say he's an idiot. I would say he's sort of an obvious kind of crazy guy. But I would say there are also a lot of other people in Washington who are pretty fixated and...
Yes, we need to get as many Democrats elected as we can. And then we can talk about all the other issues. But as long as we have Republicans running it and a madman in the White House, we need to just push to get Democrats and not confuse young people that are saying, oh, I'm just going to stay home. Because I'll tell you, the Trump supporters are not staying home.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
That's my 2 cents.
Okay. That's more than 2 cents, 4 or 5 cents. Thanks for your input. Do we have anybody else on the line?
Lines are open at the moment, 503-231-8187. And I've noticed that Linda was the first non-male identified person to call this morning.
Welcome women.
So we'd like to invite some other femme identified and other than male identified folks to join the conversation, because boys, y'all are really taking up a lot of space, and it's time to make room for someone who's not you. Thank you.
Okay, well, I welcome calls from everybody. So it's very interesting about John Bolton that we mentioned him. I think, you know, I would have to slightly disagree with the last caller, with Linda, that Trump is an obvious crazy guy. He's really kind of incompetent. And somebody like John Bolton, a warmonger from way back, who is not incompetent, he's a very smart guy, and he presents himself well. And you could argue that he is more dangerous than somebody like Trump, who is an obvious guy. What would you call him? I mean, he's just his person. Well, he's got a very ugly personality, put it that way. Where there are other people in Washington who have been kept this nation at war now for many years, and they are in everybody's good graces. They are considered part of the Washington scene. Very interesting. One thing Bolton said, he came out with this book recently about the Trump White House. And one thing that Bolton said I thought was interesting, that you know, people talk about Trump being under the sway of Vladimir Putin. According to John Bolton, Trump was talking about invading Venezuela. He was on the line with Putin, and Trump was talking about invading Venezuela, and Putin talked him out of it. Putin, I guess, convinced Trump that invading Venezuela was not a very good idea. So at least in that case, Putin's advice or influence seemed like a pretty reasonable thing to do. Invading Venezuela would be a horrible thing to do. There was recently a little invasion plot. I've been reading a little bit about it. It seems to have been something cooked up by some would-be Rambo who convinced some money backers to invest in this invasion, and the whole thing was a fiasco. Good thing for that, but this is the kind of thing that goes on quite often. And so if Putin talked Trump out of doing this, I'd say great. But an interesting thing about another thing about Trump that I read recently is that somebody's been floating the idea that a emotionally fragile Trump may actually drop out of the race. That he, I don't know, maybe he doesn't feel loved enough or something, or doesn't feel enough adoration, so he may just drop out of the race, according to this kind of, seems to be kind of sketchy rumor going around. I'd like to find out more about it. But if anybody wants to call in with their ideas on this, our number is 503-231-8187. Another thing in the news recently, getting one more thing about the bounties and whether this is intelligence that should have been presented to Trump. Ray McGovern, who was in the CIA for 27 years, he was a guy who did these presidential daily briefings, and he says the Russian bounty story would not make the grade. I think I mentioned that previously, but it bears repeating that according to the guy who used to give these presidential daily briefings, this bounty story is not coherent enough to be presented as any kind of intelligence. And like I mentioned before, he calls it Russiagate's last gasp. An interesting thing happened yesterday. Ghislaine Maxwell has been arrested. She was the sort of the companion and partner with Jeffrey Epstein, and she helped Epstein kind of groom young girls to be part of the sex parties and everything. And Epstein was arrested. He was in jail, and he died in a New York jail. Apparently, they call it a suicide, but a lot of people are highly skeptical about that. They think that Epstein was knocked off because he knew too much about some very important people. And Ghislaine Maxwell now has been arrested, and so apparently there are charges against her, and you wonder just how safe she will be in custody, because when you read the Jeffrey Epstein story, it's a lot of people are hoping that people will forget about him. One thing he threw these kind of sex parties with underage girls and some very important people, having their way with them. And he had a mansion on New York's East Side where some of these parties went on. He also had an island in the Caribbean where a lot of very important people used to get flown in and out, for whatever went on there. And the one that's mentioned most often, you hear about Prince Andrew of England, and he denies having any kind of sexual adventures courtesy of Jeffrey Epstein. But maybe Prince Andrew is just one of the less important names. There might be more important names that we don't even know about. And so when Epstein has his mansion in New York and he throws these parties, well, those every room in that house, in that building, may be set up with cameras and everything else, so that Epstein has a kind of a cinematic record of whatever it is these big shots are doing with these underage girls, which is a perfect thing for a perfect way to blackmail them. It's also a pretty common tactic of various intelligence agencies. And so there's a lot of people are raising the issue that Epstein, with his past, that he may be, that this whole Epstein operation may be part of some intelligence operation, combined blackmail and intelligence. And Epstein apparently has various contacts with Mossad, which I don't know that much about them, but they should be investigated. Maybe now that Ghislaine Maxwell has been arrested and presumably will go on trial, that maybe some of this might come out. Ghislaine Maxwell is the daughter of a guy named Robert Maxwell, and he was a British media tycoon who died. He fell off his sailboat back in the 90s and drowned. And Robert Maxwell, he had an interesting, some interesting connections with intelligence agencies. And so his daughter, Ghislaine, may have inherited that. So there's a lot going on that hasn't come out and that should come out. This is something that the public has a right to know about, because it affects us, that whatever is going on, with the, in Afghanistan and with so-called Russian bounty, this is being used right now as a way to get the people are hoping to push Trump into making some kind of move against Russia. And for some reason, a lot of the Democrats, the mainstream Democrats in the intelligence community have an abiding animosity against Russia. And you have to wonder why exactly, what kind of plans do they have for Russia. And it makes one it'd be very nice to have Donald Trump voted out of office, because the guy is a loose cannon. He's an ugly personality and in his own way a very scary guy, and to have him voted out of office would be a good thing.
Perry, we've got a couple of calls trying to get in.
Okay, we do have another caller.
Oh, yeah, we got a couple of them. Coming up next is Lori. Go ahead, you're live.
Okay, go on.
Thank you. I appreciate you taking my call. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to share some thoughts with regard to your recent comments with regard to Vladimir Putin apparently talking President Trump out of invading Venezuela. And yeah, I think that's correct. It's a great thing that we did not invade Venezuela. Where I have issue with is just your comments, sir, about that came across as kind of condoning the fact that the leader of the free world is collaborating with the Russian president and taking advice from him, as opposed to taking advice of the USA's own intelligence, and more than just not taking advice from our own intelligence, actually deflaming our intelligence department. And I suppose where I come from is looking at the bigger picture of what that means. We actually, you're saying that he took that advice. That's one thing we know of. What could this man possibly be taking advice from other dictators of the world, where that puts our country at in the big picture, absolutely grave danger? And I'll end my comment by saying, the woman that you had on previously, I absolutely agree with her 100%. The big picture is this man is a danger, and a danger to every citizen of this country, and quite frankly, a danger to the citizens of the world.
Apparently, Trump takes a lot of advice from Netanyahu and from the rulers of Saudi Arabia, President Trump, as he seems to be in favor of Israel annexing more Palestinian territory. There's Trump, I believe, who they moved the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. So, Trump is taking advice from other people besides Vladimir Putin.
Well, and I hear you very much. I guess where, again, I'm just going to repeat, my issue is that he is doing that, and but he's doing it at the expense and defamation of our own intelligence. So I'm talking more bigger picture. I think we both have the same idea that this man is not good for our country. I agree with that, but I certainly do not agree with the defamation of our own intelligence at the expense of not just our country, but other countries as well.
Well, I'd say when you look at the CIA's record over the years, it's not a good record. We have overthrown governments all around the world, installed fascist-type rulers all around the world, and our intelligence agencies have been the ones doing that. So just because Trump is a uniquely weird, horrible person does not make the intelligence community any better than they are, really.
And with that, it's about time to wrap it up. Per, any final thoughts?
Well, that sort of is my final thought, yes. We have, we're stuck in this kind of binary kind of politics. It's either Trump or anti-Trump. It's sort of like, if you can't stand Trump for very good reasons, that puts us in cahoots with somebody like Joe Biden, and I think that's a very unfortunate situation to be in. If I were in a swing state, I guess I would probably go along and vote for Biden against Trump, and then after that, make sure that he doesn't get us into a war.
Well, with that, we've got to make way for Flashpoints. Thank you, Per.